My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He is also a Fox News military analyst, and he's also a leading expert on the Iranian nuclear program. We want to get his expertise on that, as well as what's happening at the Pentagon right now. As on Monday, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel submitted his resignation. President Obama accepted it. And while the president's tribute to Hagel at their statement at the White House was quite glowing, reports behind the scenes suggest a very different scenario indeed. And, Captain, it's always good to have you. Thank you.
Nice to be with you, Greg.
Well, Chuck Hagel was an interesting choice for a lot of people. He actually got more opposition from Republicans than Democrats when he was nominated to be defense secretary at the start of the second Obama term. Now, just a little bit short of 2 years in, he's heading out as soon as a new defense secretary is confirmed. We're hearing a lot of different things. The White House background people saying he just wasn't up to the job. Some people think he was a scapegoat for Ebola and ISIS. Other people just said he couldn't get along with the administration on a number of things. So what's your sense from the folks you talk to and what you know firsthand?
A lot of folks looked at the Hagel nomination back in the beginning as a real head-scratcher. Senator Hagel was not very popular with his Senate colleagues, and in fact really didn't get any media attention at all until he started becoming critical of his own party. And at that point, he became a darling of the media, got some notoriety. And when Barack Obama was looking for somebody to come in and finish the job of cutting the Defense Department and doing the really painful things, he took the top cover of a Republican senator to do that. In comes Secretary Hagel, and I think General Dempsey had it right when he said, you know, Chuck Hagel came to work every day with a soldier's heart. And I think he is, a guy who came in there, realized that he was probably swimming in very deep water, but, put his shoulder to it and then started getting out and seeing the troops and kind of being the public face to the troops. But it's the hard nose on the grindstone in Washington that gets things done in Washington. And I am just believing from what I've heard from people in the Pentagon that there was a tremendous amount of dissatisfaction with what was going on with the administration. Secretary Hagel was detached, just waited for rudder orders from the White House before anything happened. And a lot of the senior folks, they need a secretary who has the president's ear so that when they want to do stuff, they can talk to the secretary, hash it out, and then have their views forcefully represented over in the White House. And that's not what happened. President Obama surrounds himself with people that he knows and trusts, and he pulls in, whether it's Susan Rice as the National Security Advisor, but that inner circle is who has his ear and no one else. And I think Secretary Hagel was frustrated by that, and trying to keep a lid on the discontent in the Pentagon. And as you'll recall, Greg, he sent a memo to Susan Rice about 3 weeks ago. Well, it was just before the midterms. I mean, 2 weeks before the midterms, saying, hey, you're micromanaging us over here, nitpicking, blah, blah, blah. We need to knock that stuff off. And right after he sent that, there were a couple of articles that came out that there were going to be some changes in the national security national security policy realm. And it turns out that it wasn't the guy saying that the White House was being too nitpicky, and it wasn't anybody on the White House staff. It was the guy who drafted the memo. It was Hagel. So, somebody's got it. Somebody's got to go. The wheels are coming off all over the world. Things are in big trouble, and between the White House not having faith in Secretary Hagel and the discontent in the Pentagon, it's time for somebody new, no matter how much your heart is in the job.
Captain Nash, if in fact the president's only listening to those closest to him, number one, what can we expect in terms of a new defense secretary? And if it's not someone from that inner circle, what difference does it make?
Yeah, good point. And that's the thing. Will there really be any policy changes coming out of the Defense Department when President Obama takes that commander-in-chief stuff, not taking the advice and counsel, but really driving things from the inner circle? Don't know. There are three names. Actually, there are four that are being kicked around right now. Michelle Flournoy, who was Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. She is an academic, a policy wonk, has worked in the Pentagon in a couple of different jobs. She's a co-founder of the Center for a New American Policy, which is a sort of a liberalish think tank in Washington. She was on the worked at the Center for Strategic and International Studies for a while, so she's very schooled in think tankish kind of things. She has been critical of Obama administration policy toward Iraq, toward Afghanistan, wanting to leave troops in. She is somebody who is on the record as having spoken out. So her Senate confirmation hearing would be very interesting. There is Bob Work, who is the Deputy Secretary of Defense right now. He's a former Marine officer. I believe he was a colonel or a lieutenant colonel, but he's there now. And then, of course, you switch to Senator from Rhode Island, Jack Reed, West Point graduate, 82nd Airborne officer, Senate Armed Services Committee, and actually chairs the Sea Power Subcommittee. He's also on the Appropriations Committee. So when you look at one of the services that really is going to need some help, it's the Navy, because the shipbuilding program is just not realistic. We're going to need to spend almost twice as much, or we're going to have to make some changes. It's a very academic bench, except for the senator from Rhode Island, who's got real military experience.
We're talking with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He's also a Fox News military analyst. One of the big stories that's not gotten a tremendous amount of coverage in the United States due to other issues in the last several weeks, Captain, is this ongoing effort to reach a nuclear deal with the Iranians. It's multi-party talks, but obviously the United States and the Iranians are the primary players here. And this deadline that was supposed to be the fail-safe date for a extension or a new nuclear agreement has come and gone. There is no new deal. The only agreement is that there will be more discussions and more time to make a lasting deal. Some say this is the Obama administration doing whatever is humanly possible to get a deal with the Iranians, even if it's not that great of a deal. Others say this is the Iranians obviously trying to extract as much as humanly possible, and in some cases just not really being that interested in one because they're just going to do what they want to do anyway. How do you read what's happened on that front?
I think you just set it up. The Iranians are going to do what they're going to do. They realize that the administration is desperate for a deal. They're just going to keep playing this out, and in the meantime, the clock's ticking. They're not even talking about getting back together again for a while, and this doesn't expire until, I think, June or July. So, you know, we're kicking it into the summer. In the meantime, the research inside of Iran goes on apace, and you know, you've got Secretary Kerry running around, and everybody's looking for a legacy. And right now, the legacy is the world's burning up. So they want to do something, get something that they can stack up in the positive column, which is, you know, if you're doing a negotiation, what you don't do is say, okay, so here's the line in the sand, so to speak. Here's the red line. Okay, well, now we're going to extend it. You just play right into their hands.
And, of course, there's a lot of debate, and you've certainly been involved in that debate, about what the U.S. has already conceded already in exchange for easing or even eliminating some of the sanctions, most especially active centrifuges, which the administration claims is not enriching to the highest level, so it would slow the progress towards a nuclear weapon. But, of course, previous administration policy has been no enriching whatsoever.
That's correct. And the real answer is no enrichment whatsoever. But just as nobody really talks about the Crimea anymore, you know, we've just ceded that to Russia. Now all we talk about is eastern Ukraine. Well, it's the same thing with enrichment. That's already a done deal. So now they have enrichment. Once you have that, then it all you have to do, depending on the number of centrifuges, equals time. So the more centrifuges you have, the less time it takes to get the quantity of nuclear material that you need at the right percentage. And that is a threshold that you can break through very quickly, and therefore these kinds of decisions, these give-em-ups, if you will, every time you do that, you're driving a country like Israel closer to war, not further from it. This isn't buying time. This kind of weakness, this P5 plus one, What they're talking about here, if they allow this to happen with Iran, that's pushing Israel forward. It's not restraining them.
What do you expect to happen ultimately here?
Good question. I think what the Iranians are going to do, we're going to figure out that the Iranians have the capability when they set off a test device, just like we figured out how the Indians had one and how the Pakistanis had one and how the North Koreans had one. Because we talk and talk and talk and talk until they set one off, and then we go, whoa, okay, now they're nuked. Now we have to treat them differently. Why? Well, because they're a nuclear power.
Which is what we were trying to avoid the whole time.
No kidding.
Captain, not fun discussions, but we appreciate you having them nonetheless. Thank you, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You bet, Greg. You too.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He is also a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.